Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Oh, it's nice to be here in December. Just another quiet week with no news whatsoever. Very nice to finally be able to take a breath. Oh, God!
And welcome to another sudden episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that five-star Jordan on expert. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. I'm so glad that you're here, Eric, to make video game references from, what, 16 years ago?
Oh, God.
More than that.
No, Guitar Hero 2 is probably 17, 18 years ago now.
You're right.
This is how timely my references are.
Yeah.
I need to go make an appointment to get my hair colored. The grays are beginning to pop out more than ever.
We're going to have more grays. All of the news came at once this year. I mean,
you're just talking about how
there's absolutely nothing to talk about ever. And then all of a sudden, everyone decides to do a little something 2 weeks ago.
I'm thinking that all of the Europeans were just like, you know what? We're about to go on winter holiday. Nobody wants to work this last month of the year. We're just going to push everything at the beginning of December. Give everybody all of our news so we could just take the rest of the year off. We'll regroup in January, which led to us drinking out of the fire hose today.
Yeah, we'll let those 12 points idiots deal with it.
And we are.
Speaking of which, Sam, socials.
Yeah, you can find them. These 12 points idiots on various social media outlets, Facebook, Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, et cetera, at 12pointsUSA. Or you can just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise on Redbubble. You can support us via a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account. That's Ko-fi. Or a sustaining membership over on our Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way. But Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Ooh. And speaking of Patreons, we do want to shout out a new patron who's just joined the fray, ESC Burnsides. Welcome to the family. You have to bring the Jell-O salad this time.
Oh, God.
Our first patron who fought in the Civil War.
Not just fought, was a general.
And had fantastic facial hair.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Is the Jell-O salad like, are we just talking about like a bunch of salad, a bunch of just cubes of salad? Or is this like that thing where you put the coleslaw in the lemon Jell-O in a fish bowl?
Okay, so in my family, it's just like you have green Jell-O and then you put in some other things, fruits or whatever, that are also green. And that's just sort of the Jell-O salad. And in my family, we call it green.
Just not even green salad, just green. Nope. Here, pass me a bowl of that green.
Yeah, we had green at Thanksgiving this year. It was great.
Pass me a bowl of that green.
Love green.
Stevie's family has a similar thing where they do orange Jell-O, and it's kind of like an ambrosia salad, but it also has cottage cheese in it. And they call it orange, which is great. they just call it that. And it's like, yeah, who's making the orange this year? So, good. I'm glad that they've introduced me to that tradition.
Mm-hmm. We don't really do Jell-O salad in my family now, but I have imported the idea of cookie salad from the Midwest to my East Coast family. We did a cookie salad when we got together over the 4th of July this year when the family all got together. And on the East Coast, we just don't do this concoction of cookie salad, and Steve and I like we wanted to contribute. And now, like when we went over for Thanksgiving this year, they insisted that we make the cookie salad. So
see, they all love it. They make fun of it at first, but yes. Everyone who's not familiar with the Midwestern idea of a salad being anything with a binding agent in it is really missing out. Like people are just like, Snickers salad isn't a salad. It's like, look, we are using salad in a different way. We're not putting Snickers on lettuce. Stop being an idiot. That would be preposterous. This salad has Snickers whipped cream and green apples in it. Of course, like a sane person would make, like a normal, non-depressed person would make.
Can I have to ask, do our friends in Europe, do they know what like Jell-O is?
I don't know if they are familiar with the idea of our goopy dessert salads.
I mean, Jell-O, they call jelly in the UK. It's like,
that's right, jelly. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, the brand name here. Yeah, it's jelly.
But like we use Jell-O for all gelatin. They just call all gelatin snacks jellies. Like, and it's not good. It's not good. Well, anyway, food podcast.
What we're talking
about. We've got a lot to. We actually do have a lot to talk about that is not holiday food
jelly related.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's a flood of news. I mean, the last time that we recorded, it was before Montenegro had selected their song. We knew that
the Montenegro shenanigans. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Montenegrinans. It's not going there. Yeah. So they had originally picked Neonuan.
And you say it in front of a mirror, so like. I don't know.
Yeah. Red rum.
You see it three times and they appear in the mirror behind you and people got freaked out and that's why they got disqualified, right? That's the story we're going with.
Why did they get disqualified actually? What's the rationale? Or did they just back out?
First off, they did not get disqualified. They backed out. There was some talk that they were going to be disqualified because there was footage of them performing the song before the magical September 1st date. But here's the thing.
Oh, we've bent that rule plenty of times before.
Yes,
at this point.
Yes,
we have.
They break that rule all the time. Arcade broke that rule.
1944 broke that rule.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody cares. So, like, it's. I think that would have been fine. I think maybe they and I mean this in the nicest way possible. Took one look at the Eurovision fandom and changed their minds.
Oh, we suck, don't we?
I don't know. Maybe for a country that has been kind of hesitant historically to take part in Eurovision. I can believe that, but I'm not accepting it as gospel right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're not in their heads. We don't know what's going on. It could have just been, hey, this conversation is taking up too much of the oxygen. Do you want to focus on this or do you want to focus? Because they were sort of a surprise winner anyway, weren't they?
A little bit, yeah.
It may have just been we just don't want to do this, or we just we think it'll be a distraction instead of the song on our own merits. So they bowed out of their own volition. So we don't get clickbait, but instead we get Nina Zizic, who was second place in the national final and is not only our first official song this year, but our first official returning artist for 2025.
Isn't it our second official song of the year, technically?
I mean, the one that's sticking on the roster anyway.
Fair enough.
Yeah. For those of us who remember Igranka fondly, she was a featured female vocalist for the Montenegrin entry back in 2013, just missing out, making it to the final. Some people say they were still robbed. We still don't have the full points and jury and everything rankings from that year. So I guess we'll never know. But first in my heart anyway.
But
she'll be performing on her own this time, a ballad called Dobrodošli, which I believe means welcome.
Yep.
And a big name on the songwriting team for this one, Darko Dimitrov, who we have seen in many, many Eurovision songs in the past. Most recently was on the team with Firefighter, Breathe by Vladina, Loco Loco, Fall from the Sky, Kruna, Proud. He's been really, really solid. Plus, like a trio of really, really good junior Eurovision entries as well from North Macedonia. So, big name and great voice. So, we'll see how this settles into the full pantheon of this year's contest entries. So. We'll go into a lot more detail in terms of like critiquing the songs as we get closer to the contest. We'll do our standard, preview shows and everything beforehand. But from now on, yay, Nina, good to see you back. We also had the confirmation just recently. We had known that Czechia was going to be foregoing their national final and instead opting for a completely internal selection this year. And they have picked a song we don't know the song yet, but an artist, Adonis, real name Adam Pavlovchin. Interestingly enough, not Czech.
Not Czech.
Not Czech.
He does live in Prague.
He does live in Prague, but he is Slovak.
Yeah. He is Slovak.
Welcome back to the contest,
We're
Slovak.
Back.
Good to have you here.
Yep.
All right. Listen.
What?
I know it's pronounced Adonis.
But
I don't care.
It's A-D-O-N-X-S, and the X means we can put whatever we want in there. Mm-hmm. I prefer Adongs.
Yeah. I've been thinking Adonks.
Adonks, yeah.
Yeah. Or just like a Don and then the outline of the state of Minnesota and then S. Because apparently we've established that that can stand in for literally anything.
Literally anything. Apparently, though, Minnesota just means any letter you want.
Yeah.
Is it a T? Is it a W?
I don't know how often, and it's more often than there's ever been reason to be, for me to complain about this on this show about how you can't just replace anything with any letter with just something. Like, there need to be rules. And I understand this isn't exactly the same as that, but your name is a Donks, sir.
It's a Donks.
Yeah, it's short for Badonka Donks.
I'm going to drag him because I love Czechia at the contest. So apparently Adonis is a Nepo baby. His mother is like this big modern artist that is really, really popular in Czech Republic and Slovakia. And his stepdad is a paramedic. So we know where all the money in that family is coming from. Big paramedic over there in Central Europe. I also want to say... I've taken a listen to his music. He has an album that he released in 2022, and he has a couple of singles since then. I am very glad for the selection for two reasons. One, I don't think an artist of this high caliber would have been guaranteed to pass through another one of the Czech Republic's inexplicably abysmal national finals. I think I lamented the fact that we were losing our chance at seeing another, like, national final like the Czech Republic has given us over the past couple of years. But after last year, I'm honestly kind of glad that we went with an internal selection, so long as it was pretty good. And the second thing I'm very happy about is if his current output and the tone and mood of his music is to be a good indicator of what he'll send to the contest, I am so glad to have the Czech Republic return to its niche micro genre at Eurovision, which is semi sleazy boy pop music. I'm so glad we've got a series of dance floor bangers coming from boys who just want to get up on that thing. It's very glad. I'm ready to be hurt again. Have fun finishing right side of the table, Czech Republic.
Well, I mean,
got to make the final first.
He does have a good pedigree. He was, you know, the winner of basically Czech-Slovak Idol in 2021.
Yeah, combined pop idol. It was like Super Song or whatever. Yeah.
Superstar. Also, a graduate got his bachelor's at the BIMM University. British and Irish Modern Music Institute, which also includes artists like Luke Black, Monica Linkate, Ryan O'Shaughnessy, and Pale Waves.
Pale Waves.
That
Pale
was
Waves.
Just a tsunami of it. Speaking of waves, just a tsunami of artists we actually
Pale
love.
Waves.
So
yeah. Hell yeah. our representatives from the UK next year, I assume.
We can only hope. I
would die.
I was specifically just looking for Eurovision into connections here, but I know you guys are fans of Pale Waves. So yeah, they
love me some whale paves.
So yeah. I mean, Monica Linkate, Luke Black, Ryan O'Shaughnessy all made the final. Let's see if BIMM is a lucky charm.
That's right. He did make the final.
He did.
He did squeak in, I think.
He made it.
He walked so Bambi Thug could run.
Run menacingly towards the camera.
Yeah.
Scaring the crap out of half of Europe.
Yay.
Oh, Bambi. Oh,
Bams.
Tens and twelves.
All right. Well, I'm no longer anti-Donks. I'm
You're pro-Donks.
Yes. Fervently pro-Donks.
Pro-Donks. Pro-a-Donks.
I like that in the course of this discussion, it's already just been reduced to Donks.
To Donks.
It's not a Donks. Nope.
A Donksky Kong. Yeah.
It's apostrophe Donks. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not just put an X at the beginning? X Donks X.
XXX Donks 420 XXX.
Just put Luke at the beginning so it could be Luca Donks 6. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah.
we got a lot.
We got a lot.
Hard hitting commentary from the Baltics. 12 points.
I know. I mean, honestly, like, again, we have names, we have some songs, but we don't necessarily have like an official roster. So we're playing with a lot of speculation at this point. We don't know when the Czech song is going to officially drop. Probably just spending the next couple of whiles just getting us excited. Like we are. Like
they've given us sort of in the very beginning of January is when they would hold their national finals before. So I assume that the infrastructure is sort of on that tempo still.
Who knows? It's a new year. It's a new system for them. They might be doing the thing that frankly worked for Conchita, you know, announce the artist early and announce the song late. Or Adonis may have, you know, a couple of songs in the running. Or I think I read that he submitted a few songs to the Czech national final or the Czech process and one was selected, but we don't know which one it was.
To the Czech process.
The Czech process. That sounds process. That's very Kafka-esque, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh God. Anyway, we are getting some songs, or at least a list of potential songs from more and more countries. Albania, we know that they're having their national final in the last week of December, you know, Festivali Kungas, Fikmes, as we like to call it. Frankly, by the time that we have our next episode, we'll have that song.
Yes.
You know, a couple of familiar names are in the running for this year. Elvana Jatha, giver of Metana from a couple of years ago, fan favorite, is in the mix again. Malaret Kacheri, who won Festivali Kungas last year with a song that people were not thrilled about, he's back. So we'll see what that song is this year. George Castronari, who has been in a couple of Festivali Kungas in the past, that I believe was a backing singer for Lendita Halimi back in Kyiv, has another song in the mix. Orgesa Zaimi, who's well known in these circles as well as had a couple of songs in the past. With a song by Enis Mulay and Arion Rishkiti, who has done a number of both Eurovision songs as well as junior Eurovision songs for Albania in the recent past. A lot of eyes are on Shkodra Elektronike, which people are saying is sort of almost shumi. So if Albania is going to go away, people's eyes are on Shkodra Elektronike.
Tell me, has Albania won before?
Never come close.
Eurovision? No. They've come top 10, but
sure.
Yeah.
It's about time. A country that will never not be there. Albania. I can never see Albania not being in the contest.
Don't say that because something's going to happen.
Don't jinx it.
I have that power. So, I have that power. But it's about time for Albania to come just roaring out, you know?
I mean, they are switching up their system a little bit. The new artistic director of the contest is Elhaida Dani, who represented the country in Vienna and is absolutely spectacular. Her. She's the artistic director of Festivali Kungas
she's
now,
the
I guess.
President of music. I still enough. Just have
after
such
a military
hard...
coup.
Yeah.
All hail Elhaida.
It was very rhythmic. A lot of drummers. Anyway, I just have such a hard time seeing Albania winning, not because their songs aren't good, although sometimes they're not. It's more to do with they pick the song so damn early.
They
I know for some people they're not even aware of when these songs get picked, but I feel like, you know, virality and social media and stuff is as big as ever. And picking a song in December just seems like you're giving yourself too much time.
I don't think that's almost. The problem. I think the problem is that Albania will never send a Swedish style pop song. That's Albania's thing. They don't really want to play the winning game, you know? And there's something that is eminently respectable about that. But, you know, one of these days they'll have a song that wins and everyone will love it because it is genuine and native and beautiful.
I hope so.
I mean, yeah, I can absolutely see one of these years Albania pulling a Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And having their Marpelish Joyce moment. It might not be a ballad, but it might be something really, you know, something really touching, despite the language.
Could
and half the
shumi?
Time they end up translating into English anyway.
Yeah and there's always something lost. It's always a shame.
Danny, you mentioned the them never wanting to send a Swedish sort of pop song. And Sam, you mentioned Metana from a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, like, That was the one year where it really seemed like they really were going to send something like that. Although with a bit more Albanian flair to it, certainly. And then it just lost. Like, we were certain that song was gonna take it. And then it
lost. But in the end, they didn't.
Yeah, it lost to Shaj. So it didn't matter anyway, because that contest didn't happen. So,
yeah.
Albania, send the Shum thing. That sounds great.
Yep, and lucky for us, Albania has released all of these songs onto the various streaming services. Oftentimes, they will keep them close to the chest, but this year they have released the songs in full, which is nice to see. So,
woohoo! What's the name of the Shum one again?
So the band's name is Shkodra Elektronike, and the song's called Zjerm, Z-J-E-R-M, or Z-J-E-R-M. Zjerm.
Excuse me? All right.
Who knows? There we go. They gotta win it. They gotta win it now. This is sort of the highfalutin, high class commentary that you come to expect from 12 Points from America. Anyway, other songs have also been released for Latvia. A couple of familiar names in that lineup as well. Of course, Marcus Riva trying for the umpteenth time. But we have the potential returns of Chidizeni and Justs, both returning to the contest, hopefully.
Not a lot of faith in Justs, but the Chidizeni song is pretty good.
Yeah.
What do you mean not a lot of faith in Justs? You really hate Justs, don't you?
Don't Justs. Hate is such a strong word.
And are, that feel,
are you not feeling his heartbeat, Derek?
That song was dumb.
That song is dumb.
All right. I just want to say really quick, this Latvia's Supernova lineup might be my favorite national final lineup in years.
It's really good.
It's really good, yeah.
It's really good, and there's so much stuff in there that is very attuned to, like, and this isn't why it's good exactly, but is just really attuned to, like, what's popular in, like, mainstream pop music right now. There's stuff that you have a bit of Billie Eilish vibes. There are Lana Del Rey vibes in here. There's a song that, when it starts, I think is by The Weeknd. Like, there is so much just good, cool pop music here. And if you're basic and you want, you know, the Swedish sort of sound, there's a little bit of that too. Like this lineup is fantastic. It's so good. And I can't wait to be so mad when they pick something dumb. that's just not as good, but Latvia, there's some real artistry in there. And in pop music, like, it's not necessarily as Sam, what's the song I'm thinking of?
Give me a clue.
Oh, Estonian cowboy vibes?
No, the Sunlights. That's what I'm
talking about. Okay.
I'm like, name a good
Eurovision
song.
Eurovision podcast. You could have been talking about literally any song.
In all seriousness, I thought that might work. What song am I thinking of? Oh, Sudden Lights. Yeah, that's the one. Nothing quite on that. Like, this could be a friggin' Radiohead song sort of level necessarily. But my goodness, I feel like the bar is being raised in Latvia. And I don't know I don't know how well it bodes for, like, them doing numbers at Eurovision. But they're doing it. They're doing a good thing. Listen to this whole lineup. It's great. Really good.
After so many years of Latvia just kind of wandering in the dark, I feel like Dawn's finally breaking through and qualifying. May have just lit
Dawn?
A fire.
How
lit
was
a fire.
It
I don't know.
Was it this guy? We had Sudden Lights sending this
crashed
most incredible
and burned.
Thing.
And yeah, like, sudden no, 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 no. No respect, absolute junk no. results. And
what,
then
what we need
came,
is a
they came
bald
in 11th,
guy.
Guys. Sudden Lights came in 11th. It didn't crash and burn. It came in 11th, which for Latvia was really, really good.
Let's get this guy, like, a weird piece of armor from medieval times, paint it blue, and put him out there in a in a Stargate, and he's gonna do really good.
I see a breastplate and I wanna paint it blue. Sorry.
You remember if I remember right, his was the first one to be announced from that semi as qualifying. Yeah. And then from that moment, the whole thing was like, well, nobody knows what's happening. Literally anything, literally anything can happen in the next 5 minutes when they announce these things. If Latvia is in, no one knows a thing.
Yep.
I was so sad I wasn't in the press center for that.
Oh man.
I screamed in my living room.
It was
oh,
great.
Yeah.
I mentioned the press center was also just like, as soon as they're what? Like, Latvia!
Oh yes, the screams that were scrumped that night were surreal. Yes,
people throwing papers everywhere. A bunch of reporters run to the phone booths and quickly dial the newspaper. You know, like.
Yeah, I mean, there's yelling after all of them, but especially that one. Like,
yeah, all bets were off.
Do you think it's good that it's that? Like, I know it's quote unquote random. I don't believe that, but
I believe it's random. I'm the only one willing this Christmas season to still believe. Eric.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Do you think that there's any
calm down,
chance
Pat Frosty?
We're like movie podcast. What was I gonna? Do you think it would have been better if they'd saved Latvia for the end?
Absolutely not. That would terrifying. Have been
something. There were so many songs that people would have been like, is it this one? Is it this one? Latvia.
No. Even worse than like, remember when Joker Out made it through to the final as the very last announced one? And then it turns out, oh, they were through by a country mile, but they were just announced last. That's why I have faith. That's why I have faith that it's truly random.
Any song that's going to be picked last, it's always going to have your heart in your throat moment. I mean, when do you have the randomness? When is the randomness the most impactful? Early, late, middle, who knows?
I feel like they could maybe like pull up a few random orders and pick one of them. Because
that's not random, Eric.
Listen, let's say there's one country left to be announced and one of them Sweden. Like, there's no drama in that. There's no way they allow Sweden to be announced.
No, there
last.
Is drama there, because then everyone, like Derek, has a moment
they're
of
like,
hope.
Like, oh, what if?
One what small if? Glimmer of hope for the future.
What if? What if? Okay, all right, well.
I stopped believing in God a long time ago.
Is God Max Martin?
Thomas G, son. The Thomas G stands G, son, for God.
Right. We know now.
Ah, yeah. All right. Well, hopping over from Latvia to Estonia, another country that has traditionally given us really, really solid national finals, kind of fell off for a couple of years, but I think they're beginning to roar back a little bit. They've announced their pack of definitely participating finalist entrants for Eesti Laul, including a couple of names that are familiar. Anna Selin, who performed for Estonia in 2002, actually, and is still at it. Tommy Cash, who is very, very well known as a rapper, singer, visual artist, with Espresso Macchiato, which has gotten a lot of attention so far. Our dear friend Dude Poin actually did a whole article on Espresso Macchiato and just his history. I highly recommend that you scope that out. Just, you know, look up Dude Poin, Dude Points, Tommy Cash, and you can definitely find that. There's a song by an artist named Yannick that was co-written by Ketil Moreland of Moreland and Scarlet fame. So that's definitely a name to keep in mind. Song Frozen.
They're not Estonian.
There are a couple of Swedes, you know, kind of sprinkled in here.
Okay.
I know Anna Selin is actually, I believe, is actually Swedish, but is very associated with Estonia somehow. But my eyes go to the group of songs listed as the online wildcard. On January 6th of 2025, they will announce one song out of the 20 or so of these wildcard entries. That's going to make up the last entrance in these finalists. And there are a couple of familiar names on here. Gerli Padar, who represented Estonia in 2007 and is the sister of Tanel Padar, who is the 2001 Eurovision co-champion. Lara Polvere, she of Verona, and seemingly every national...
Did she make it out?
Yeah, she's not lost in Verona, but hopefully she won't be lost in this wild card setup. And my personal favorite, Mikk Pedaja, who was a backing singer for Estonia in 2010. He was one of the Manpower Four behind Malcolm Lincoln, and the singer of a national final song called Sace, probably about 10 years ago. Definitely.
Manpower Four?
Yes, it was Malcolm Lincoln and Manpower Four. And he was one of the Manpower Four.
Manpower Four.
Siren was the song.
This is before my time, Sam. Manpower Four. That sounds like a group that would speak at your high school and then get in trouble for being too Christian. Anyway, what else we got?
Yeah.
Too Christian?
I thought that was point why we'd hire someone like that.
Did not mention horror dance party.
Are you saying horror or the other thing?
Horror.
Oh.
Horror dance squad. Fine.
All right.
Oh, yeah, this horror dance squad. Are, yeah, not to I'm be confused with... Yeah, not to be the confused with Stereo Terror. Yeah. Yes, there's...
Horror dance squad.
Slut wave.
Yeah, that sounds like slut wave if I've ever heard one.
Yep. But yeah, it's so Estonia is looking like they're going to be serving it again. So very excited to see how that turns out. Yep. We also have artist lists dropping all over the continent. Slovenia, we know that they are returning to the national final format this year. Emma will be on February 1st, if I'm not mistaken. Name that stands out the most out of this national final group, Klemen Slakonia, who I have been angling to host the contest for years, is actually sending a song in his own right. Song, How Much Time Do We Have Left? We don't know anything about the song. We just know Klemen is in it. Who knows if he's going to be impersonating somebody as he is wont to do. He has, if you haven't seen his song Put In, Put Out, I highly recommend it. Also the Trump Dump and his work impersonating Luka Doncic, Angela Merkel, the Pope.
Well, he did a medley of every Slovenian Eurovision song also.
Ever,
That was very fun. Do you expect this song to be serious or no?
I kind of do. Like I'm wanting comedy, but I'm expecting something.
Okay.
Kind of down. And
like Aram MP3 was generally a comedian, wasn't he?
Yeah.
To make a potential comparison, this is 2014 Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
That he that song wasn't funny.
No.
It also finished in fourth place. So, I don't know. I mean, if it's good and he wins Eurovision, then he can host next year. Everyone gets what they want.
I would die. I would just absolutely freaking die.
Love to go to Slovenia. My God.
Kill too.
Love it.
You don't have to kill to do that.
Slovenia, coming back.
You don't have to, but.
I feel like killing might be a hindrance.
It's fine. Not an endorsement of violence, by the way. anyway.
In this country.
Let's see. Also announcing their lineup, their long list are the folks over in Malta. Some names that definitely stand out. Kurt Kalea with the song Aziza, who represented the country in 2012, but this is the night. Let's see who else. There's a trio called JVF. J stands for Jessica Muscat. She of Jessica and Jenny B, yes. San Marino, 2018 with the robots. Uh-huh. She's back.
Yes, yes. We can never forget.
And the V.
The other two are robots. VF stands for very fake. What?
The F stands for Fabrizio Faniello, who also represented Malta in 2001, 2006. And they're there with another guy.
And is some guy.
Super old then? If we're doing 2001 and 2006?
Well, Fabrizio, let me just double check how old he is. He's not that
Unless
old.
Unless Fabrizio is competing as a little drummer boy. Like
he's 43.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'll note on the topic of Malta, someone has already been disqualified from this.
Yeah. God, I love this little country.
Alexandra Alden got booted. This was for having performed the song too early. And I guess this particular rule Malta takes rather seriously. So
at least someone believes in integrity.
Yeah. Apologies to Elizabeth Arden on not making it through on this one.
Aww.
And, you know, maybe next year. Just don't sing anything until then.
Yeah. So, yeah, we will see. You know, other names that kind of pop out here. The song Whistleblower by Haley was co-written by Tom Hugo of Kino.
Yes.
Of Kino.
Yep. Let's see. Mary Claire's song Wildflower was co-written by Christina Magrin, who represented Malta at Junior Eurovision in 2016. Mm-hmm. Seeing Matt Black or Matt Blix in the songwriters list for Stefan Galia's song La Blob or Talk Talk.
Don't make me tap the sign.
I was going to say, could we European songwriters spell your name?
Complain about this challenge. For 10 more minutes.
Just letting you know. Just don't kill the messenger here. but
Loop
yeah,
was,
so
Loop was last in that semifinal. It's kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just reading about the Malta, and I had forgotten that Sarah Bonici finished last in that semi.
Yeah,
which is a little surprising. I don't know.
Undeserved, right. I think. Hopefully, Malta will be able to do better than they have over the last couple of years. They definitely deserve better than what they've gotten, I think.
Although public vote only is tough for them, as we've established. So there's that too.
Yeah.
They really need something. They really need to send something good so that they can then have the juries help them out after that.
Yep. Let's see. We have our long list, and it is a long, long list. I believe it is going to be 45 entries across 5 semifinals over in Lithuania.
Oof. They are a powerhouse. They do tend to be.
Everybody gets to go, I guess. Except for
fair.
Except for Evelina Ganchevska, whose song Aurora was eliminated from the Lithuanian national final because it was already accepted into the Croatian national final with a different singer.
What?
Whoops.
Yeah. Elva and Linda Pearson, who were two of the Swedish songwriters, must have submitted the song to multiple national finals. And I guess the Croatian snapped it up first.
We've wondered about this at times, because like we know these things get shopped around like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens if two countries want it? And now we know. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, I guess so.
Man, what if that wins?
So it's going to Croatia first?
I guess it was announced in Croatia first. I'm also thinking that one of the songwriters on it, one second here. Well, considering that the third songwriter for that song is named Valentina Gerek, and the singer for Aurora in Croatia's name is Tina, Valentina might be Tina. I don't know if Tina has claimed the song for her own and ripped it out from under Aurora's feet like a badly done tablecloth trick, and all the wine glasses are just flying everywhere.
Sam, people don't stand on tablecloths.
Not with that attitude.
Anyway, Portugal has... Oh.
Anyway, familiar names in the Lithuanian list. Jeva Zaishumaita. Asasi Maskauta. I'm sorry. I'm very, very poor with Lithuanian last names. Is returning with the song Don't You Ever Leave Me. And Vilja. Vilja Matačiūnaitė is returning with a song, Liesti Negalima, so obviously in Lithuanian. Other familiar names, I'm seeing Queens of Roses, who's come in there a couple of times, Petunia, Victoria Faith, a couple of familiar names. And yeah, we'll see what happens with that. The songs have not been released yet.
Too many countries, in my opinion. Yep. Too many countries in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least we have one leader that's daring to combine several more.
We have a whole bunch of other names here. I mean, Serbia has released their name. Croatia, like I said, have released their long list as well. I have to point out, you know, Croatia, they've mentioned the return of a group called Magazine, who has been active in some way, shape, or form since 1979, sort of a past member setup. I think they're sort of like the Croatian Menudo. But there's an act here who I just need to bring to light. I don't know anything about them other than the fact that the band's name is Nipple People.
Oh, yeah. See, I thought that we were all Nipple People.
I mean, yes, at least, yeah, generally so.
Are these people with nipples, or are these people who live inside of your nipple?
Are they people who are made of nipples? Entirely people, of nipples? Oh,
completely made up of nipples. We will have to watch. See, this is fantastic branding, because now we'll have to watch to see.
Exactly. And will they be allowed to perform as themselves? Like, or will they be just censored and blurred out? Is this possibly the best named group since We All Poop?
How quickly I forget about we All Poop.
How could you, sir?
Yeah.
This Nipple People sounds like a Sarah Sherman sketch on SNL. I want to point out really quick, while we're talking about long lists and names, Zifferblatt's on the Ukrainian list again.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Glad to see it.
Hell, at least the long list. It is. A little bit bummed. I feel like it's only a matter of time before we see Olena Yusenko show up in this. And when she does, it's going to be awesome. But it doesn't appear that that's happened yet.
Yet.
Yes.
But yeah, she's definitely a junior act that is absolutely one to watch for the future. I'm wondering if they've announced the songwriters for these songs yet. So I could see her as a songwriter. I'm sure by the time that this episode airs, you're going to get more information and more lists, more long lists, short lists, nominations, disqualifications, who the heck knows. But we do actually have our official list of countries. And Eric, you did a little bit of digging, and it looks like we have a bit of a scorigami moment here in a manner of speaking. Is this correct?
That's right, Sam. To the surprise of a lot of people, there has never been a Eurovision with exactly 38 countries.
Ooh.
And that's what we've got right now, 38. That also means two semis of the same length, which feels like it hasn't happened in ages.
Beautiful.
For
divided by, so minus six, we got 16 in each. That feels
16
nice.
In each. So
nice.
This will be the first contest ever in which there are exactly 38 participants, as long as nothing weird happens.
I see. You're taking over the jinxing duties, I see.
Dear.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? You know, the I'll just generally point in the direction of last year, and who knows? Lots of things can happen, and here are some of them. Number one, not going to do that, but at least for now, we are approaching an unprecedented thing, which is 38 countries. Somehow that's never happened.
Mm.
That's wild.
Well, in order to keep the effluvia from hitting the fan, it looks like the EBU have now enacted and have published a whole bunch of new policies for protecting artists. There's a new code of conduct that has just been released that is available.
Did they actually release it?
They have released it. Eurovision.tv. If you go over to the rules page and scroll to the bottom, the code of conduct and the policies are now officially out there. I highly recommend that you scope them out, see what is in place this year that has not really been officially released before. And it looks like there's a bit more of a focus on duty of care. A lot of mentions of, recognizing the amount of stress and the amount, the emotional and mental toll that this contest can take on artists and ways to protect them. So it's good to see. There's a piece in there that's sort of the responsibilities of the contest itself, as well as responsibilities of the delegation that they have to their artists as well. So it's good to see this coming to the forefront. After last year, it's, upsetting that this had to be something that really needs to be put on the forefront, but it's important that it is.
It's one of those things. And this is a thing I've dealt with running Quiz Bowl events.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, there are some of these things that, like, I could put together a big, you could put together a big long code of conduct, but sometimes I think you don't, because you just feel like it's all such common sense that you shouldn't have to put all of this in writing. Like, people should just get it. But then at some point, it becomes clear that it does not work that way, and you need to write some things out. And so I'm glad they did this. Hey, speaking of writing things out,
ooh,
and about Eurovision and its rules, I, Eric, that's me, wrote an article recently that you can read with the good folks over at escinsight.com about, well, it started with a lot of complaining, and then I pared it down to
just
to
a little bit of complaining.
The remaining point of just, it basically, I don't want to spoil too much because you should go read it. It's wonderful. That guy's a great, great guy there. That it seems like the moment they decided to use the slogan United by Music, it just hasn't felt apt, like, at all. And so the question is just, what does that mean? What do you actually mean by that? How are you embodying the phrase United by Music? Or why aren't you? Or perhaps. So I wrote a little bit about that and speculated on, what that could look like, what it should look like, and all of that. And to be clear, yep, it is United by Music again this year. They are sticking with that. It was such a good phrase when it was one country hosting on behalf of another country. And then the rest happened.
We can hope. We can dream. We can attempt. Yeah.
It would be nice. It would be great to be United by Music. But, like, I want to walk up to Martin or somebody and just be like, you need to explain that. Like, you need to explain what that means. Because I'm looking around and, like, not seeing it.
Well, we do know that the Swiss are holding on to that mantle. We know that will be the motto for this year's contest. And this morning, as we are recording, they have officially unveiled their visual themes, their stage, their font, and are really trying to kind of hone in on music as a tool of unity. And that's really kind of what their thing is going to be this year. So hopefully the Swiss will take it and run with it in a way that was more successful than it seemed to be last year. So fingers crossed. But yeah, this font, like, seriously, I just have a bit of a bone to pick with the fabulous folks who were behind the design of this font. You had Helvetica right there, y'all.
Oh,
it's too on the nose. We can't use the font named after our country. We can't do that.
It would be Eurovision against humanity. It would just look like.
Some would say it already is.
It's. I can't wait for Eurovision to be in Rome next year and for us to not use Times New Roman.
But I mean,
I would love that for several reasons.
They're giving us an italicized serif font. I'm sorry. It just doesn't feel right.
You know what would help is more X's. Just replace things with X's. Everyone loves it. No one ever has a problem with that. Ever.
Yep.
All right.
But anyway, they did also reveal the stage concept for this year. And it's pretty cool from the little bits and pieces that we've seen. Mountains in the background because, you know, it's Switzerland. Big sort of framing aspect to it, which seems like it could be cool, but God help you if you are unfortunately one of those obstructed seats right behind that frame.
Yeah, some people are going to buy seats and be pissed.
I mean, supposedly they are the cheap seats, but...
Like, those are... That's a weird location for just a big old wall.
Big old frame. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. The stage seems fine. I don't know.
Mm.
Fine.
Yeah. I wanted to circle back on something before we wrap up about this code of conduct here.
Yeah.
That they make sure very, very explicitly that participants, staff, press, if you are there accredited and are there certified, that you need to follow the local laws of the country. Which I think is, you know, like you were saying, Eric, this is an obvious thing that goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, in theory.
But it seems weirder for, like, Switzerland. Like, did they have laïcité laws? Like, what's going on? Like,
I mean, that's something that I kind of wanted to dig into a little bit. And Eric, I think you kind of looked into this a little bit as well. But, you know, I wanted to make sure that I didn't accidentally set a foot wrong while I'm there. So I guess in Switzerland, I cannot take a singular guinea pig as a pet. That is illegal in Switzerland. So I guess I can't be doing that. They are social animals. You have to, if you're going to keep a guinea pig in captivity, you have to have more than one or else it's considered animal abuse. It needs a friend.
No incel guinea pigs here.
Nope. So I guess I'm going to have to, you know, stop that dream. Eric, what have you found?
Oh, what haven't I found? There's a lot of things. A lot of it seems to involve it being either a Sunday or after 10 p.m., possibly both. That's when the gremlins come out. And then also, I think it's just like a observing the Sabbath sort of a thing. You can't do things on Sundays. Like, you're forced to not do things on Sundays. Mm.
John Calvin set up these rules and you're going to follow them 500 years later.
Yeah. So there was a lady, I think she was a German lady, but she was in Switzerland, if I remember right. She tried to take out her trash and put it in the place where you take your trash on a Sunday. And she was arrested.
I think it was even worse. I think it was her recycling, which is even noisier than the trash.
This is about having quiet hours, basically. Switzerland is just a giant apartment building. After 10 p.m., you got to just cool it. That's going to make the contest interesting, I think. But I got to put all the ballads at the end. And then everyone can like golf clap. Nice little clap. Yeah. Let's see. They appear to take jaywalking fairly seriously. So in all seriousness, if you are there, don't do that. Yeah.
Supposedly you can't hike naked.
Nope. Apparently that was a problem. They had to make it illegal.
That's, when you border, I feel like every country that borders Germany has to have a special law that says, all right, you freaks. Could you please not?
Could you put your clothes back on before you come in here?
Yeah. Let's see. You are allowed to eat cat or dog meat, but only if you do it by yourself.
No groups.
Inviting someone else to do it is is illegal. So just do it by yourself.
What about horse meat? Is this a pro horse meat kind of country?
I don't have that.
All right. No Taco Bell then.
Yeah.
Aw.
So
I've read that in a couple of different sources that it is illegal to ski while reciting poetry. There goes that off of my list.
Oh,
who's poetry? This isn't poetry. These are rap lyrics.
I'm just imagining
rap lyrics.
A 12 points exclusive Patreon video. Like, we find a pair of skis to rent and then just go down the town. One of us pulls another one of us and just reads "I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud" while we're doing it, and dare them to start an international incident. Let's see. It is. Oh, this one is maybe my favorite. If you are or if you have a swarm of bees.
Bees?
Yes, bees. And those bees decide to go to somebody else's beehive. Like, they decide to leave and go be with this other hive. That other person now owns those bees, and they don't have to pay you for them.
Ooh.
Free bees!
Yeah, free bees. And here's the thing. What I love about this, it means that bees have legal autonomy. They can choose who they live with. And that's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Bees get to choose who wins the custody battle.
Yeah.
I have also seen that in Switzerland, there are naming conventions that you cannot ruin the life of your child with a ridiculous name. And that includes brand names, which I guess if Chanel was trying to sing for Spain in Basel, would she have issues?
Well, she's not.
She isn't being actively named.
Yeah. Seems to.
All those pregnant Eurovision artists.
I saw an example. There was some rich lady in Switzerland that wanted to name her daughter Lexicon. And Lexi for short, right? No one has to know. Well, the Swiss government was like, that's dumb. No.
I'm so glad. I would kill for this job, honestly, to be the person at the head of the committee that just goes, stupid name, okay name, stupid name. I could do that all day. I could do that all day.
Yeah, there have been way too many Johns today. Do something else.
Name my child Kraft.
That would be a great.
But name my child PepsiCo of America.
Yeah.
That's when they stop all the Khaleesi's before it's too late.
Yeah.
If only. Would that be an embarrassing name, though?
Khaleesi? Well,
which season did it come out after?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, it's you aren't allowed to harm the child's well-being or be offensive to a third party. So, like, if you're going to open the door to somebody being bullied beyond belief.
Name my child Dons.
Aww.
Or Donks.
Or Donks.
Dons and Donks collab win.
Only if Duncan Lawrence can get in on that, too.
In the dunk, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Dons, a donk is in the donk.
A donk.
I mean, is Donald going to get stopped at the border for that name?
No, oh, true. Oh, gosh. Well, I think we've come full circle, y'all.
Good.
Any other talking points that we want to bring up before we bring this episode to a close?
Yeah, here are some other things that could happen that reduce the number of countries in the contest.
Oh, God.
Number one, Ireland just falls into the sea.
Ireland blasts off.
Yeah.
Whee! Yeah.
Iceland decides to be part of North America instead, or gets sold to a country that thinks you can just buy countries.
Guatemala, we're looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Weirdos.
St. Kitts and Nevis.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, anyway, I'm sure that by the time that we have our next episode, well, we will have at least our Albanian entrant, assuming nothing gets disqualified. Who the heck knows anymore? But again, wherever you are listening to us, if we don't put out another episode before Christmas/Hanukkah/Kwanzaa/the New Year, we wish you all a fantastic holiday, whichever holiday you celebrate. Even that one, especially that one.
That's right.
Yeah. But we really appreciate you joining us for this year. If you've been a longtime listener, we are so thrilled that you've decided to join us. If you're a new listener, a member of the family, we're so, so grateful for you. And again, you can follow us on all the standard social media outlets. If you want to interact with us, reach out to us. 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you want to email us directly. We really do appreciate it. But yeah, I suppose we will catch you on our next episode. Until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening,
yeah. Yeah.
No, not the news.